Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. We understand business. Choose the bank that's here to help you rise to today's business challenges and tomorrow's.
Now, Richard Walker is the managing director of Iceland Foods, one of the UK's best known supermarket chains specialising in frozen foods. Richard is on a mission, as he sees it, to make businesses more ethical and sustainable, something he maintains Iceland are leading the way in. He's just published a new book which looks at his own career and also how businesses, both big and small, can do much more to power a green revolution in the corporate world. The book is called The Green Grocer, One Man's Manifesto for Corporate Activism. I'm delighted to say Richard joins me now. Richard, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Good to talk.
Now, we'll talk about the book and indeed the greening of Iceland in a minute. But firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself. I interviewed your father, Malcolm, a number of times on this show, maybe at least twice, actually. And he was a great character. And I'm trying to picture him around this green agenda.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he provided a lively, entertaining interview. That's for sure. My dad founded the company with my mum, actually, 51 years ago. And I joined the business about 10 years ago, having had a totally separate career in property for many years. But yeah, it's a family business. And I think, you know, Dad's obviously delighted that I'm in the business. I'm now MD and running the day-to-day. He, in his own way, has been a bit of an environmentalist for quite some time. He was the first retailer in the world to ban GM foods from our own label ingredients way back in 2000. So he's always led the way, but in his Yorkshire accent, he'll often tell me to stop saving the world and get in the shops. Well, and it's that kind of balance between purpose and profit that we constantly debate as father and son.
Okay. And just maybe you mentioned there about working outside the family business. How important was it for you to maybe, you know, to plough your own furrow for a number of years in the property arena and maybe come back then to the business, maybe having learned something somewhere else?
Yeah, I think, everyone's different, but for me, it was absolutely essential to grow a thick skin and to prove it to myself and to other people that I can kind of have success on my own account. I actually moved full time to Poland after qualifying as a chartered surveyor in London, and set up a property company there, which we grew and sold, and then did the same in London. And I think, you know, his legacy looms large and very big shoes to fill. So for me, it was really important that I did my own thing and gained that confidence.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So when we think then about Iceland, Richard, you know, green agenda, you know, isn't probably something that is an immediate sort of bedfellow, let's say. So, you know, you've decided that the green agenda is one that you can bring to the fore. And because you're a private company, you say, obviously, that's easier.
Yeah, we don't have to constantly produce profit increases quarter after quarter to please outside city shareholders. And we can taper in costs over the long term to do what's right for the business and our customers and indeed the planet. But you're right, maybe people don't necessarily think of Iceland. When we declared that we'd be the first retailer in the world to remove plastics, there were a lot of eyebrows raised. But actually, I passionately believe that environmentalism needs to be democratized and it needs to be made relevant and relatable to everyone, including some of our customers who might only have £25 a week to spend on food. And this can't just be the preserve of Waitrose customers with time and money to spare. We've got to mainstream all of these issues, from palm oil and food waste and plastics and soy and everything else in between, because only that way will we really change things.
And how important, if you look at your customer base, Richard, if you're looking at, you know, people who are seeking out value, maybe for people who don't have a huge amount to spend on their weekly grocery bill, where is the green agenda in their lives?
It doesn't sit top of their hierarchy of needs, put it that way. Like, as you say, some of our customers, many people in the UK, are just struggling to make ends meet. And that's fair enough. But it's not that they don't care about these issues. When we polled them on issues like palm oil, 80% of them said they'd like us to get out of palm oil because they didn't want to be complicit in rainforest deforestation. So they're important issues to them, but they have to be cost neutral. You know, that's the bottom line. Regardless of what any survey says, where people say they'd be willing to pay more, the reality is the silent majority will vote with their wallets and go elsewhere if they're being made to pay for the privilege. So I think, you know, we have to take account of that. And also in our language, we mustn't ram these sustainability messages down their throats. I've learned that. And I try and be as honest as I can in the book about our failings as well as all the successes. But the fact that you should never preach to people and you should never talk about cost and consequence, but the opportunity. And that's really how we try and reframe these issues for our customer base and just make it, you know, regular day-to-day part of their shopping.
Yeah. If we look back at the last 14 months, Richard, I was looking through the book and I see you quote Bill Gates in it saying, "The only thing that keeps me awake at night is the thought of a pandemic." And that quote was February 2019. How has your business coped with the pandemic? Has it been good in certain areas? Has it changed the way people have shopped?
Well, we've been very lucky, let's be honest, because we've been an essential retailer as a food business. So we've been allowed to trade throughout the pandemic where, you know, many, many other non-food retailers haven't been so lucky. We've grown market share through the pandemic because we've invested a lot in the business. We've created over 5,000 new jobs and we've really scaled up our online delivery capabilities. We pick from store and we've invested millions in PPE and social distancing measures, but also new stores and vans and drivers. We've really had to pivot our business model. Our online operation has increased fivefold in the last 12 months. We now do more deliveries a week than Ocado. And we've got capacity for 100,000 every single day. So it really has been a challenging year. But like I said, we've been lucky in that we've been allowed to keep trading. And we've just got to keep, you know, fleet of foot and keep responding to the changing crazy world that we're currently living in.
And do you think the green agenda has been accelerated as a result of the pandemic?
I think it's a really good question. I think overall, yes. And I remain very optimistic, as you'll have seen through the book. You know, I'm fueled by optimism because I see opportunity everywhere, from new green technologies to business and government and indeed citizens jumping on the green agenda. But I think also it's finally a chance to connect the dots between human health and the natural world, because let's not forget, you know, this whole pandemic started with man's ever encroachment upon nature. So I do, and I also think we've realized that the world does breathe easier when we tread more lightly on it. And there were some small benefits of lockdown in terms of clear skies and the smog lifting over China. But I do think there are some issues like plastics where it really has been a setback. Pandemic plastic is everywhere.
Personal protective gear, like as in masks and all that sort of stuff. You know, you just see them everywhere now.
Everywhere. Yeah, it's a real shame. And also people want pre-packaged convenience because they want to get in and out of shops quickly. And they want the sterile nature that plastic affords. They don't want to root through mountains of loose fruit and veg. But I hope it's only temporary. And I think overall, you know, as I say, it does provide an opportunity to turn the page and start a fresh chapter to genuinely build back better and greener.
All right. Well, look, it's a really honest book. And again, as you said, openly, Richard, you know, you talk about your successes as well as your failings. But it's really interesting to see an initiative such as this in a traditional business such as Iceland. So we wish you every success with it. And I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed the book.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And all proceeds go to charity, I might add as well.
All right. Well, look, thanks for joining us. The book is called The Green Grocer. The author is Richard Walker. And it tells the story of the green agenda and indeed the challenges ahead on the green ticket for Iceland. Thanks for joining us, Richard. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a million.